Welcome back to another installment of It's About Time, a DC Sports podcast. I am Nate.
I'm Josh.
Welcome back, Josh. How you feeling, buddy?
Better.
Not dying anymore?
No, I'm not.
Josh is staring at his phone because he's got Michael Thomas on his fantasy team. Is it the championship tonight?
Semi-championship, but if whoever wins is going to win.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you need 10 catches and 100 yards.
I need 20 points.
20 points? That's not...
I need some magic.
What's the score right now? 7-3 still?
Yeah, they look like garbage.
Yeah, Saints, man. They've laid a couple eggs in the last few weeks. They're not playing for anything.
Yeah,
I know. Especially with the Rams losing last night. I mean, they're pretty much the runaway one seed now. So we are here. The Redskins won yesterday in one of the most boring games I've ever watched in my life. I almost fell asleep in the second half. I did doze off for a minute, and then I had to go back and watch what I missed. But they did end up winning 16-13. We're going to talk about that. The Wizards traded for an old face, Trevor Ariza. We're going to talk about that. Alex Ovechkin, I don't think he's ever going to stop scoring goals. The guy has just been a machine. I think it's, two hat tricks in the last six games, something like that?
Two out of the last three.
And then we've got some Nats talk, some baseball talk. J.A. Happ, I believe, signed today with the Yankees. Charlie Morton went to Tampa. And the Nats traded Tanner Roark. So that's we'll talk about that. I mean, I'm wondering what they were thinking with that, so we'll get to that when we talk about baseball.
I think he had to know it was coming, though, because he didn't show up to Nats Fest.
Right. I think he knew it was coming, and he was owed about $10 million, which is a lot for what he's been the last few years. But I was still shocked by it because it leaves a pretty big hole at the back end of their rotation. I mean, unless... I can't imagine they're planning on going into the season with Eric Fetty and Joe Ross as their 4-5. I just can't see that happening.
No, I still think there could be a trade for...
one of the big names? Yeah.
Freed up a lot of money.
It did, $10 million. I mean, that's... yeah.
I mean, when Bryce comes back for $23 million over 3 years...
We did talk about that earlier, too, when we were texting each other. We'll have to talk about that. Because it seems like the suitors are just dropping like flies for Bryce Harper.
It's because they listen to our podcast and,
the analytics,
I've been right along.
The analytics wizard that is Josh. No, you have been right. I mean, I think you've been spot on all along. And I think you're starting to see that the big money teams are like... the Dodgers came out today. I mean, they didn't come out today. It came out today that basically they're only interested if it's a short-term deal. So really... unless he's willing to go to a team like the White Sox, who, even with him, are probably an 80-90 loss team.
Padres, that's my dark horse.
They don't have the... do you think they have the money for that? They just... what are they paying Hosmer?
20? A lot.
Yeah, they're paying Hosmer a lot of money. Anyway, before we get too far into it, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. They've got a lot of great DC sports content. Please be sure to check them out. If you're interested in doing a podcast for them or writing about a DC sport, please reach out to them on Twitter at DMV_SN. They're doing a lot of cool things over there. They are a up-and-coming DC sports website and, I guess, platform for podcasts. So check them out. We are affiliated with them. They blast our stuff out, and we try to blast their stuff out as best as we can. All right, Josh, the Redskins won 16-13 yesterday. I just want to, before we jump too far in, I want to know just your thoughts. Did your mind change about anything, or how are you feeling about it?
No, I mean, they're garbage. Jaguars are garbage. This goes back to that. I think that, I mean, they played hard. Defense looked really good. I mean, you can't take anything away from that game because Cody Kessler's terrible, and they're not a very good team. How did that team get to the AFC Championship last year?
I don't know. Is there a worse offensive team? Maybe the Cardinals. But I mean, is there a worse offensive team in football?
Than the Redskins or the Jaguars?
Yes.
Okay.
No, but the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars, if you take away the punt return, they scored 6 points.
Yeah.
Which was the most Redskins thing ever. Kick the ball out of bounds. Well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, listen, Tressway, to me, team MVP, but what the hell was that?
Oh, I mean, he was barely getting the balls off, though.
That's true.
He was just trying to get him out of there.
I'll tell you what, that was the most interesting part of the broadcast, was them covering how inadequate the new long snapper is, aside from the fact that he's married to a gold medalist Olympic gymnast.
Yeah, but he's got really bad velocity on his snaps.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I mean, I just want to be the guy that I want to be the guy with the gun.
I mean, how
in the
can
stands.
You, yeah, how can you not
54?
54 miles an hour. How can you not get it back there? I don't know. That led to a blocked punt or a quasi blocked punt.
Whatever that was.
You want to talk about it at the end of the game? You and I were texting. How do you not leave time in case there's a bad snap?
Which there was. They were like, good snap. I'm like, again, Tress Wade saves the day.
He does.
Catches the ball over his shoulder and gets it down somehow.
Team MVP, Tress Wade. I mean, really, it would be sad if Tress Wade's not an all-pro this year. I mean, the guy still has not had a touchback.
That's insane to me. How does that happen?
I mean, if it's one thing, you can say the Redskins have the best punter in football, in my opinion. Probably not the best, but he's one of the best. Josh Johnson was 16 of 25 yesterday, 151 yards and a touchdown. I think the big thing for him, no turnovers.
Yeah.
That's the only way they win yesterday, no turnovers. He did have 49 yards rushing. Adrian Peterson, his numbers don't look great, 19 carries for 51 yards. But let me tell you.
He sealed it.
He did. That last drive, man, he was a man-child. And really, just pounding the rock. I think he had like a 15-yard carry at one point in that drive. He had
all 38 yards, right?
He did, yeah. Basically, a drive was him, a 4-yard rush, and then him, a 7-yard catch, then a 15-yard run, 7-yard run, 1-yard run, 4-yard run, and then they kicked it. It was the old-school Riggo drill, marching down the field, 36-yard field goal by Dustin Hopkins. Play of the game for me was probably the lucky tipped pass to Jamison Crowder.
Yeah. Without our luck, we could be 4-10, or we could be 10-4. Like,
really?
How bizarre.
For once, though, in the last like 5-6 weeks, the breaks went the Redskins' way. I mean, I think that was the big... Everybody thinking to themselves, hey, something
he, like, stopped the ball and somehow, like, popped it straight up in the air.
Right.
And it was going nowhere. No one was catching that ball.
That was a terrible throw. Yeah. It was an awful
throw. Well, he had to. He was getting blown up.
He was, and I like the fact that they took a shot downfield. I mean, don't get me wrong. But, man, that was a bad throw. Josh Johnson had a good day. I mean, I don't think he showed that he's going to be a star.
It's your fourth quarterback.
Right.
He's like your backup JV quarterback.
He's mobile, though.
Yeah.
He made plays with his legs yesterday. He kept some drives alive. They were 7 of 15 on third down. That's not bad for your fourth quarterback.
I think he needs to work on his cadence, though.
Josh, if you're listening, Josh Johnson, Josh thinks you need to work on your cadence.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
Everything else is perfection. But the cadence is what you should work on.
Got a lot of penalties.
Yeah. They only had 6 penalties for 48 yards, but I think there was something like 4 or 5 that were not accepted.
Correct. I believe they were all on Morgan Moses.
Yeah, he had a terrible game. And I heard on another podcast today, which I forgot about, the Redskins had 2 plays where they had 2 penalties on them called.
Yep.
So they...
holding and like leg sweeping, kicking or whatever the hell that was.
Oh, yeah.
When he swept the leg.
Yeah, the tripping or whatever they call it. Clipping, whatever. Redskins had 245 yards of total offense. Jacksonville only had 192. Defense looked good. They had 6 sacks. I sent you a text earlier. I asked you this question, or I said prepare for this question, I guess, was do you think Jay's done enough to save his job?
I don't know the answer to that question. To me, his job's never been in question. I mean, he's been rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, it's not.
You and your Titanic metaphors are...
It's not going anywhere.
No.
Like, I mean, just get through the season, man. But then again, I can't... Who knows what this organization will do? My guess is he probably does get fired. He shouldn't. I mean, if I were him, I'd probably want out. Because they're going to be handcuffed for the next 2 years without Alex Smith.
And because they don't get any cap relief.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way he handled the Mason Foster thing. Like, I don't know. That didn't bother me at all. He's right. It's just misguided. I don't think he understands. And we've talked about this before. I don't think he understands that it's not... The fans don't hate the players. It's everything's directed at Snyder. And they're just collateral damage. They really are. I mean, there's... He should not... Like, no one... Why would anyone want to play here?
I don't think anybody does. I think they come here because they...
To cash like, checks.
Right. I mean, Alex Smith didn't ask to come here. He was traded here. When was the last time they had like a big... Josh Norman was like the last big free agent that came here. You look at the guys that they got, Paul Richardson. I mean, he wasn't a huge name, and they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah, I was going to say, they way overpaid him.
I mean, that's how they get people, is by overpaying them. They overpaid Josh Norman. Yeah, the Mason Foster thing, to be honest, it didn't bother me either. The only part that bothered me is that he blamed it on his cousin. He said that his cousin, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure everybody knows by now, there was a, it was published, or not published, but made public, an Instagram exchange that Mason Foster had with a fan. It was a fan, right?
Yeah.
Where he basically shit all over the Redskin fan base, said, screw this fan base, screw this team. You got high-paid players that aren't doing their job. Something along to that effect. And Jay Gruden came out and said, what did he say? Like, broke an unwritten rule or something. But he wasn't going to punish him.
Oh, he just said, that's his personal account. It's his personal business. I don't care.
It's probably the right thing to do, though. I mean, how can you... I don't know. Doug Williams came out.
I'm sure he had a conversation with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Doug Williams came out and said it wouldn't be in his purview to punish him, but he did think he was disappointed by it. I understand the frustration, though. I mean, for those guys, I mean, they really worked their tail off to get better, and they put their bodies through hell. And all you ask is, I mean, you grow up, I guess, wanting to play in a home stadium where it's a very vibrant crowd, and they just haven't had it. But again, we've talked about this. You just mentioned it. It's the Redskins fans, the fan base has every reason to not show up and to not care, in my opinion. To answer the question I asked you, I agree with you. It's a tough question to answer. I think Jay should be safe. If you had said at the beginning of the year that the team was going to finish 7-9, and you go, you would have said, that's probably about right, you know? I think you even thought that they'd only win 5 or 6 games, right?
Yeah.
So if you said 7-9, and you go, oh, that's about right, and then you go, oh, but they'll be on their fourth quarterback by week 14. Both their starting guards, Sheriff and LaValle, will be out for the season. Jordan Reed will be hurt. And Darius Geis won't play a snap in the regular season. You would go, wow. So they finished 7-9? That's pretty good. It's all about perspective. I think Jay's done a fine job. I said this on the podcast last week when I was by myself. I'm curious what your feeling is. I don't think that there's much out there that's better than him. Like, I don't think they can upgrade their coaching situation. I just don't. Who's out? I mean, Lincoln Riley's the only name I can think of. I'm not a huge fan of college coaches. I don't understand. I don't think, especially you're going to be handcuffed financially.
I think that we just embrace it, sign Hugh Jackson, really go for it.
The tank job?
Yeah.
Nice.
Embrace the tank.
Cool.
If you're going to tear it down. Tear it all the way down.
You don't tear it down. You burn it down.
Burn the motherfucker.
Speaking of Hugh Jackson, how about my Cleveland Browns? Still in the playoff picture at 6-7-1. I mean, technically. But they could finish. I think they might finish with a 500 record. They above might. 500 record.
Yeah. And, you know, we watched the game, and I had like an aha moment with Baker where it was, I think, like 3rd-and-9. He snaps the ball. He has two receivers short of the first down. And he didn't throw it and waited until someone was open enough to get the first down. Like, it must be nice to know that you have a quarterback.
It must be. And I was wrong. I give kudos to their front office. They made the right move picking him number one overall. He clearly was worth it. I mean, Saquon Barkley is pretty special. But
yeah, but, I mean, there's articles out there that said 60% of NFL execs still wouldn't have taken Saquon. They would have taken Darnold or Rosen. Because you can't... Saquon's a generational talent, but you can't put a price on a franchise quarterback.
That's true. Baker... all the young quarterbacks have looked pretty decent this year, even Josh Rosen in Arizona. But Baker, I think, is clearly the top pick out of those. I'll ask you this. I sent this also to you as a question. Is there any reason as a Redskin fan to root for a playoff spot?
Why? I mean, sure, if you want to watch an extra game.
That's pretty much my thought. I think that the downside of it, it might already be at the downside because they're worse that they're going to finish as 7-9. I think Bruce Allen might still have a job here next year. I think if they had lost the last seven games of the season and went from 6-3 to 6-10, I think it would have been a complete teardown. And instead, I think that this has arrested the fall. And I think Bruce Allen probably survives.
What makes you think that he doesn't survive until there's a new stadium? I don't think... It's not going to matter what they do. I think he's there until the... I think he's there and then he, like, chooses to leave.
Well, the new stadium is still, like, 5, 6, 7 years away.
I know.
If you didn't hear that, that was me groaning at the thought of Bruce Allen. Because I listened to Kevin Sheehan's podcast earlier today. He used to be on 980. He's got his own podcast. He had J.P. Finley on. And J.P. Finley said that Bruce Allen is a very hands-on personnel guy. He's telling Jay who to play. And your eye just twitched when I said that. The one question that Sheehan kept bringing up was, haha, Clinton Dix played 100% of the snaps yesterday. Monte Nicholson played none on defense, only played special teams. And the feeling is, because they asked Jay Friday, they said, what's going on? You know, and Jay just went, well, we traded for haha Clinton Dix, which means management saying, play him. The thought early in the season when Deron Payne, and this is all, again, Sheehan was talking about it, Deron Payne and John Allen were playing 95% of the snaps, and usually good teams, you know, they rotate in so their guys stay fresh. It was Bruce Allen going, I want to see my number ones out there. That made my stomach hurt to think about that. A guy like him who's terrible at personnel decisions, telling football people what to do with their roster decisions and think that really bothered me.
It should.
It just makes me think that, I mean, I've always felt this way. We are in a perpetual spiral of just mismanagement. We'll occasionally peek our head above 500 and then. Anyway, moving forward, the Redskins play the Titans this week. 4:30 kick on Saturday. It's a short week. Titans are 10-point favorites.
Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not very good offensively.
Derrick Henry's going to run for 4,000 yards against us.
Derrick Henry, I think he's got just over 400 yards in the last two games and 6 touchdowns. But he's played the Giants. They played the Giants this past week. But if you're the Redskins, if you can stop the run,
right?
You can. Mariota's okay. I think that's the key to the game. Mariota's probably going to beat the Redskins by him running.
Right. He's going to Wentz us and roll out of the pocket, and coverage is going to fall apart.
Right, because Cody Kessler, I mean, how many yards did he have yesterday?
50 or 60, right?
Rushing, yeah. He had 68 yards rushing. Only 57 yards passing.
Solid day right there.
Solid day for old Cody Kessler. The Titans shut out the Giants yesterday 17-0. It doesn't really mean anything. But they're 10-point favorites. Any chance that the Redskins win?
Sure, why not?
Yeah?
Both teams suck.
You think Tennessee sucks?
Their defense is good.
I think they're well coached. I like Mike Vrabel. I don't like Mariota as a quarterback. I think he's okay. I also think he's been banged up all year.
He has been.
I don't know. Listen, the Jaguars have a very, very good defense. Well,
it's good. It's not great.
No. The Redskins only mustered 16 points against them yesterday. Listen, Josh Johnson's a great story. Hadn't started in 7 years, hadn't played in 5 years, has never really been given a chance to start and play in an NFL game, other than I think he's had like 5 or 6 starts prior to joining the Redskins. He's a great story, but let's not overstate what he did yesterday. It wasn't anything fantastic. He didn't turn the ball over, used his legs to create time and also pick up yards, but he's not going to win you a football game.
No, he's not.
To answer the question I asked you in regards to, is there any reason to hope for a play? No. What I'm hoping for, the only scenario that I would hope for, because I just think it'd be a lot of fun, is the Cowboys losing out, which isn't going to happen, and then essentially the Redskins-Eagles game becomes a play and you're in NFC East championship game. That would be fun. That'd be a fun way to end the season. It'd probably get flexed to Sunday night. Especially if the Vikings lose one of their last two games, then it's a play and you're in as a wild card. I mean, there are a lot of things that would just make for one fun game, but you're right, it's just an extra game. They're not going to make it do any damage in the playoffs. I don't think there's any reason to root for it. Something I was talking about last week, I'm curious what your thoughts are. Where do they go from here, at least at the quarterback position?
Down. I mean, what do you... I don't even know who you sign.
I don't think you can afford Joe Flacco.
You can't afford anyone.
I think you could afford Teddy Bridgewater.
Maybe.
I mean, Bridgewater hasn't played a snap this year. Hasn't really played a snap in 4 years, 3 years.
Nah, see what the Redskins will do? They're going to win out, and then Josh Johnson's going to be our starting quarterback next year.
No, you know what I heard? Well, maybe. But you know what I heard is that Colt McCoy could be ready by week 17 against Philly.
Good for him, because that makes sense. Well, I wouldn't risk the rest of my life.
I wouldn't either. I don't understand it. Wouldn't that be interesting, though, if the Redskins find a way to get into the playoffs and there's a quarterback controversy about Josh Johnson versus Colt McCoy? I mean, only this team could do that.
Be impressive.
Sure.
Impressive. I don't even know you could be upset about that.
I think they finished 7-9. I think they're going to lose their last two games. The Eagles looked good last night against the Rams. I don't know if you watched that game at all. Nick Foles, it looked like himself again. The Rams look like they might be in trouble, though. They've laid a couple of eggs the last 2 weeks. But, yeah, for the Redskins, 10 points is probably too much against the Titans, but I don't think they win.
No chance.
Yeah, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. They probably lose somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-13.
Yeah, it'll probably be another bad football game.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Indifferent.
I don't really have anything else to say about the Redskins. I mean, the game is boring.
I just don't understand, like, what do you expect?
Me?
No, I mean, like, people. Oh. Like, what are you, like, why are you surprised? That's what blows my mind. Like, what intelligent person would think that they have a chance to succeed when they're on their fourth quarterback?
Fourth quarterback.
When the quarterback's the most important position on the field by far.
Fourth quarterback.
No tight end.
Your 10th guard.
Right. Like, come on.
It's something like their, I don't know what the number combination for their offensive line.
It's so stupid.
It is. They are just decimated by injury. Absolutely decimated. Silver lining, 6 sacks yesterday. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Ryan Kerrigan. They have a pretty stout front seven. Something to build around. I don't know what the hell's going on with Zach Brown. They're like, he's basically relegated to playing in passing situations. Like, I don't know, has he fallen that far out of favor?
Yeah, he's gone next year. They're going to cut him.
What I'd really like to see, I don't know if they can with his contract. Can they? Oh, okay. What I'd really like to see is I'd like to see them keep Jay and then get a very strong-minded defensive coordinator that can essentially take over that half of the football, because Jay doesn't want anything to do with the defense. If you can do that, but you're still going to be, I think it was like $17 million in a cap hit with Alex Smith next year, even if he doesn't play.
We're back in 2012.
Right. They have no quarterback situation. They're in a lot of trouble.
Maybe you bring back RG3.
That's been some of the talk this week. So stupid. I think he stays on as a backup behind Lamar Jackson. Apparently, the Ravens love him. They say he's been a great teammate. He's learning the offense.
Years later, people will say this about Bryce, too, after he hits rock bottom.
You always find a way to wedge Bryce in there. You're really trying to tie Bryce and RG3 together.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just the anti-Ovechkin.
Yeah.
They're both just complete tools. Self-absorbed. Bad teammates.
I don't know if Bryce is a bad teammate.
He's definitely a bad teammate. Without the guidance of Jason Wirth, yeah. Not be his doing, but I don't think anyone likes him. And actually, it is his doing. He just has an overall arrogance that's not deserved.
I'm just going to sit back and watch you talk about Bryce Harper.
No, I'm good. That's all I got.
You want to talk about... that's all I got with the Redskins. You want to talk about the Ariza trade? What do you think?
Sure. So here's what I got. I've been really excited. What I hope was happening is that they're acquiring Ariza to package with Beal to the Lakers.
Beal?
Yeah. Because the Lakers have been linked to both Ariza and Beal. They want to surround LeBron with shooters. That's what I hope is happening. What I actually think is happening is Grunfeld is doubling down on Wall and Beal as superstars and decided that Ariza is going to be able to fix the effed up culture of the Wizards at 33 and $15 million a year. I mean, Oubre wasn't coming back, but Oubre is a good player. He's basically what you wanted Otto Porter to be. That Otto Porter wasn't, and still, whatever the hell's going on with Otto Porter. They suck. But much like you said about the Redskins, their little winning streak, or sorry, it's not a winning streak because that would be three in a row. Their wins, intermittent wins, have been giving them a glimmer of hope.
Big win last night.
Not taking away the fact that the entire Southeast Division of the NBA is under 500. This isn't a team. I think that people would be happy if they made the playoffs. Like, that to me is their... That would be an embarrassment. Like, limping into the playoffs like they did last year is an embarrassment. They should have blown it up, but I think Grunfeld's doubling down, and I think they're going to play to win.
Yeah.
John Wall seemed like he was auditioning for the Lakers the first half.
See, I heard that they were thinking about packaging Ariza with Wall.
That's fine. Whatever. Send them.
I'd like to keep Beal.
I like Beal. I'm indifferent.
Okay. Wizards currently would be the 11 seed. They're 12 and 18. But they're a game and a half behind the Heat.
For first place in the Southeast Division, right?
Oh, I was just looking at the Eastern Conference. Oh, the Heat. I'm sorry. You'd actually be looking at the Magic, because the Magic and the Hornets are both tied. They are two and a half games behind. The Magic and the Charlotte Hornets are 14 and 15.
Yeah.
Those are the 7th and 8th seeds right now. The Eastern Conference is absolute dog shit.
Yes.
I just don't... I mean, the Austin Rivers thing, whatever. But that also tells me that they're probably keeping Wall because they need a point guard.
Sato.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what, a Troy Brown maybe?
Yeah, Troy Brown, and you have Devin Robinson too. But I mean, like...
They should be better, though.
There's not even a word for how far they're underperforming.
No.
Like...
I agree. I mean, if they just flipped it, if they're 18 and 12, which isn't even that great of a record, I mean, it's okay. They'd be half a game behind the Celtics. And the Celtics, everybody loves the Celtics. The Celtics are 18 and 11.
It's not hard to beat up on teams in the East.
No. Although the Raptors are... 23 and 9. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're good.
But big win last night, though, I guess, right? Against the Lakers?
That's what I'm saying is those little glimmers of hope are going to make them delusional. They just need to keep losing.
I mean, they kind of dominated last night,
though. They just shot well.
Yeah, I mean, they won 128 to 110 over LA. Wall had 40.
Almost all of it in the first half.
Yeah.
I think he had 28 in the first half.
Beal had 12 rebounds. That's nuts.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, for me, that's nuts.
The Lakers couldn't make a shot, which is normally what happens with the Wizards.
That's good.
I mean, Ariza, like, that's absurd. Why they think that that's going to fix...
I like Ariza.
I don't have any problems with him. I wouldn't pay him $15 million a year.
No. I wish they had kept him back in the day, but it was too costly. And they went with... Well, I mean, now they're paying Otto Porter that.
Yeah. But at 33...
Yeah, LeBron... was 5 of 16 from the field.
It's not a good day.
Lonzo Ball, 4 of 11.
Well, he's not a good shooter.
No. Eesh. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm kind of on your side now. I'd like to see them trade Wall. But I think a total blow-up is necessary. And Grunfeld's never going to do it. Grunfeld, you have the two worst GMs in their respective sports, probably, right? Grunfeld and Bruce Allen?
Maybe.
Okay. Grunfeld's definitely the worst, though. Has to be.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that, I guess.
No?
Oh, in basketball? Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's what I mean, yeah. In their respective sports. But both of them seem to be untouchable. Classic.
I don't get it. Like, that's bizarre. I just don't... Yeah, it's weird.
That's where we'll leave it. Meanwhile, the Washington Capitals continue to fly high. They have 43 points now, which they're leading the Metropolitan Division by 6 points. And that's good enough for fourth in the Eastern Conference behind Toronto, Buffalo, and Tampa. Ovi's just been on a lights. What's he scored in six straight games, right? A goal in six straight games, but he's had two hat tricks in the last three.
Yeah, points in 15 straight?
Something like that.
New career high.
Not slowing down at his age.
Caps 33.
What's that?
He's only 33.
Yeah, but for a hockey player, I mean, that's...
Jágr played till he was 44.
Yeah. Jágr did.
Jágr Russians.
Was... What?
Russians. Or Czechs, whatever
you want. I was going to say Jágr was Czech, right?
Is Jágr a Czech name? Is that where you were going to go with that? Because you know what Czech last names are?
No, I just knew he wasn't Russian.
Okay. Well, I corrected myself, but you kind of wanted to go down a path of, oh, yes, Jágr, a common name in Czech.
It was more like the Jaromir part.
Is it?
I have no idea.
Okay, now you're talking out of your ass.
It's what I do. You said that to me the last time we hosted a podcast together, that I talk out of my ass.
Yeah. It's amazing that people listen to you talk out of your ass for a whole hour by yourself.
Wow. How do you feel currently about the Caps? I mean, they're flying high.
Yeah, they look good. Defense, you know, Oshie will be a concern. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Barakovsky. Healthy scratch the last three games. Canucks are interested in him. Just hasn't really panned out since his injuries.
Do you think that they're going to trade him?
That's what the word on the street is. They could pick up a defenseman, maybe.
What about what's going on? T.J. Oshie's hurt, right?
It's like back and forth with the concussions.
Oh, that's right.
That's eventually going to have to be dealt with, I'm sure.
Like end his career or just sit a season out?
I don't know, it's like six? That's a lot. It's starting to get up there with like Lindros numbers.
Like, wouldn't you, if you're T.J. Oshie, wouldn't you just worry like...
That doesn't sound like he's worried at all. He's like, yeah, I play hockey. I hockey hard.
I'd say I can't watch a football game now without thinking about it. Like, it's...
Thinking about what?
Like, concussions.
Why?
Like, it's like, why anybody puts themselves through that? I know the money's good, but you feel about these guys, I mean, multiple concussions, you're certainly shortening your lifespan, and you're shortening your quality of life at the end of your life.
It's all about quality over quantity.
Okay.
Quantity over quality.
So like
quality over quantity.
Like a good 60 years with a lot of money is better than...
80 years with no money? These guys aren't like solving cancer.
No, they're skating on ice. I get it. Oshie will be 32 in 6 days, actually. His birthday is December 23rd. I mean, okay. He's a good hockey player. Maybe sit him out for a while. Let his brain heal a little bit.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Rest is good for the brain. Whatever.
Dynamite drop in. This is what our 32 viewers a week come to hear for.
At least you upped it from 2 to 32. Before we go into baseball, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. Check them out for all things DC sports. They release a podcast a day. We are one of them. They're going to be introducing some new podcasts. The Fantasy Football Podcast obviously will be taking a seat for a little while because fantasy football is pretty much over. Josh is going to check his team real quick. But they're going to be doing a Nats only podcast, and they're going to be doing, I think, an MMA podcast. So check them out. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. Got some press credentials to local colleges. They're doing some cool stuff over there. We're happy to be affiliated with them. They blast our stuff, we blast theirs. Nationals made some news this week, just a little bit. Big Country, or what do they call them? Big City is back. Matt Adams. I love that signing. I think he should be the everyday first baseman. I don't think that'll pan out that way. I think it'll be a platoon situation with him and Ryan Zimmerman at first base. But to have a power bat, left-handed bat, apparently he's great in the clubhouse. He's a great guy. He's back on a one-year deal. There is a second-year mutual team option for him, but I'm happy to have him back. And they traded Tanner Roark, which, I got to be honest, they started talking about it at the winter meetings. I was surprised, and then they pulled the trigger. They traded him to Cincinnati for Taylor Rainey, who's a fireballing reliever who will probably make the roster this year. He played at AAA last year for Cincinnati. Had pretty good numbers. What are your thoughts on the Tanner Roark deal?
I think it's just clearing room to acquire a fourth starter.
I hope so, but they're kind of falling down. Like, J.A. Happ's gone. Charlie Morton's gone.
Like, I think they can do better.
But who's out there? Dallas Keuchel?
Trades or Dallas Keuchel?
Trades. It apparently, with what Cleveland has done, which that's another head scratcher, they've cleared a lot of payroll to the point now where they're not so interested in trading either Kluber or Bauer. Like the Encarnacion trade to Seattle to bring Carlos Santana back saved them some money this year. And the Yan Gomes trade to the Nationals saved them some money.
Sounds like some Enron accounting that's
going on. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But apparently they're okay with moving forward. So then you're talking about maybe Madison Bumgarner. That would be interesting.
Granky.
Granky's, here's the deal with Granky. I'd like them to bring Granky in.
Archie Bradley.
Yeah, but he's not a starter anymore. He's kind of like a super setup man. He'd be great, though.
Robbie Ray, bring him back.
Robbie Ray, that'd be cool. I mean, are they interested in trading Robbie Ray, though?
Who knows?
Would you do this deal, right? Would you do Granky for Carter Kieboom and maybe another prospect?
Sure.
But how much of the contract does Arizona have to eat? It's like 30. It's like 32, 33 million a year.
Six million?
Yeah.
Just have $100 million a year and you're starting pitching.
They gave up $10 million in Tanner Roark.
I mean, there's $30 million right there that you're not paying Bryce Harper, and that could be $40 million right there that you are anticipating on spending,
That's true.
And even if you make the Patrick Corbin argument, that's still an extra $15 million that you're willing to spend a year.
Yeah. I mean, Corbin, I mean, in the scheme of things, he's not making, like, ridiculous money. It's a long contract.
It's like the, fifth or sixth highest contract ever?
For a pitcher?
Yeah, total.
Oh, the 140?
Yeah. It's up there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know that it's the second highest contract ever awarded to a guy that had Tommy John. Strasburg has the highest. So the Nationals have the two highest ever awarded for the Tommy John.
I mean, next year is going to blow up in their face. Did you know their odds went...
Wait a minute. Next year's going to blow up in whose face?
The Nats. Why? Everybody's going to get hurt. It's just going to be a cluster again.
Well, I thought you were on the bandwagon.
Oh, I am totally on the bandwagon. I'm just saying it's not going to work out.
Why?
Because it's DC sports.
Oh, okay.
We can't have nice things.
Well, we have the Stanley Cup.
We do.
I'd like to have the World Series trophy, though. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, according to Bryce Harper, this town hasn't seen a celebration like it would for a Nationals World Series. Oof.
Talk about that for a minute.
Because of how absurd that is?
That's a pretty stupid comment.
Because the Capitals are more beloved than the Nationals and actually have real, like, a dedicated fan base and a real fan. I mean, I'm sure everybody would... You get a bunch of Brads and Chads down there celebrating.
Keep going.
I got nothing. be a bro fest down there.
Wow.
The Inner Harbor. Harbor.
You hate the Nationals fan base.
I do.
I don't know why.
I hate the Nationals fan base. Look, Mason Foster.
Hates the Redskins fan base. That's pretty good. I like that. Let's talk about second base for a second. Dozier's still out there. Scooter Gennett might be available by trade.
Everybody's still out there, right?
Daniel Murphy's still out there. DJ LeMahieu's out there. Who am I missing? Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people.
Jonathan Scope.
I wouldn't touch him. Or if I did touch him, it would be with a very short...
Short contract.
A short, cheap pull.
I don't know, man. Who do you want? If you're a Nationals fan, who do you want?
That's tough. I would probably choose a fourth pitcher and just, like,
Do the
I'd say, hey, this is your job. Don't care if you hit 198.
Well, Kendrick will hit okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And Defo.
Oh, you're going to... See, I just go... I'd give it to Kieboom.
Oh, would you?
Yeah. Well, then or I'd make Kendrick. Kendrick's your fourth outfielder.
No, Michael A. Taylor's your fourth outfielder, unless they trade him. Because they got rid of Goodwin.
Yeah, that's
unless
true.
They bring up Andrew Stevenson or keep Andrew Stevenson up, who showed some flashes last year. I think it'll probably be... See, here's the thing. Had they not re-signed Matt Adams, I would have said, see what it takes to get Daniel Murphy back on like a two-year deal. Because Murphy can flex between second and first. But now you have Matt Adams that can play first. Matt Adams can also actually play the outfield. Left field occasionally, if need be. Brian Dozier, if it's a one-year deal, he adds some pop, but he's going to strike out a lot. But again, like you said, if they have to invest $10, $12 million in a Brian Dozier, I'm just as fine with the platoon of Kendrick and Defoe and maybe eventually down the road Keboom, and then go spend that money on a fourth starter.
What I'd do is I'd go 10 and 300 for Machado and move Rendon to second and say, F you, NL East, we're winning the division this year.
Wow. That would be amazing.
I would just hold my fingers up.
I would actually, what I would do though, if you did that, I'd put Machado at short and move Trey to second.
Sure.
But and I mean, then I would trade Keboom for a starting pitcher. And then just go, fuck it, we're all in.
Yep.
That's what I would do.
I mean, they should really commit to it.
Going all in?
Yes. Like, they should just, checks.
I think they have a legit three-year window right now with their starting pitching.
I think they have a year or two window at best.
Really?
At best. Yeah.
With a top
because you're
three.
Not going to be able to, the Braves, now that they're spending money,
yeah,
are so young, and if they keep everybody, you're not going to be able to compete with the Braves. I don't know what the Phillies are doing.
Phillies aren't doing anything. The Mets, that's the crazy thing.
Brody Van Wagenen, they let an agent run a team?
Yeah, but you
they got Arliss up there, son.
They got Arliss up there. But if you listen to, if you read all these baseball pundits, the Mets are a contender now.
Well, that's just because they're pitching.
Yeah, but they signed Wilson Ramos yesterday. That's a lot of money for a guy with two reconstructed knees and
can't hit.
Has only played more than 93 games three times in his career. He can hit. The guy can rake. He's got power. But that's a lot of money. They gave him 2 years, $19 million, and there's a third-year option. So they've added to their lineup Robinson Cano and Wilson Ramos. Was it Edwin Diaz, right? Their closer. They've re-signed Jeurys Familia as the eighth-inning guy. I don't know what the Phillies haven't done much. Jean Segura. They traded Carlos Santana. They haven't done anything, really. I mean, if I was their fan base, I'd be severely disappointed right now.
I'd just be confused. I mean, whatever. That's the half-ass rebuild that's not going to work.
No, but they have the money.
Right, that's weird.
You know what's going to be interesting, though?
Oh, Bryce Harper's going to be a Met?
No, Philly. The Phillies have so much money, they could realistically get Harper and Machado. But I think they have their eyes on Mike Trout next year. Trout's a Philly guy. I don't think he's going to re-sign with the Angels after this year? He's got 1 year left? I think he's going to want to go to a team that can contend, and if he can be closer to home, I think he might do that. Although he might want to be a lifelong Angel. You never know. But let's talk about the Bryce thing real quick. We talk about him every week, but it is really, for a Nationals fan, it's one of the most interesting things. It really seems like his options... With your shit-eating grin on your face. Who's out there?
The Padres.
The White Sox.
That would be great. 10 years, $4 billion, and he gets to be in the north side of Chicago.
That's the A-Rod deal to Texas.
Yep. He gets traded in 2 or 3 years to a contender. The Yankees.
Well, he'll probably have an opt-out after 3 years. He'll get his money, and then he'll... We talked about this earlier, though.
It makes more sense for him to cash in on a 3-year deal now and then sign the 10-year deal. But here's the thing is, I bet you that's the smart thing to do if he believes in himself. He might not even believe in himself at this point.
Oh, I think he believes in himself. I don't think
there's any... Oh, he definitely believes in himself.
I don't think there's any issue of confidence with him or bravado or ego. I don't think there's any issue with that. I just... Now, Machado's apparently meeting with...
The Yankees.
But his meetings are starting now. I think the White Sox are interested. There are a lot of teams interested in Manny Machado.
Doesn't that say a whole lot that there's a ton of teams that are interested in a person who admittedly doesn't hustle and is at least truthful about it?
And has had issues on the field.
Than Bryce Harper.
But you beat this drum a lot at the end of the season. Chris Davis with a K has similar numbers.
Yeah, for $10 million a year.
Bryce, statistically, aside from his MVP season, is not worth $30-plus million a year.
He's not worth $10 million a year.
That's a stretch. I think he's worth $10 million a year. I think he's probably in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 million. Right now, he's worth $18 to $20 million a year. Because he's going to give you 35, 40 homers. You know, he's going to walk a ton. He's going to be over 400 easily over 400 on base percentage, might be closer to 450. He's going to get on base, but his defensive numbers were terrible this year. I think that's, you talked about that a lot at the end of the season. And to be honest, I didn't give it that much credence, but you are absolutely right. I think that really bothers people.
That's because it's not like it's like a slight regression. It's absurd
for a 26-year-old.
It would be interesting to see, right, with no injuries.
That we know of, correct.
That it would be interesting to see if that wasn't the biggest single-season decline. I bet you it's the biggest single-season decline in defensive metrics from on a 26-year-old season.
And I think that bothers people. I think people should. Are looking at it and they're going, offensively, you're maybe one or two wins above replacement on average. You know, you're an above-average player, but you're not a great player offensively. You walk a lot, but you also struck out a lot this year. You batted 247, somewhere in that neighborhood, the same number as Chris Davis. You have pop, but it's easy to just either pitch around you or, you know. So you're not don't have that huge of an impact on the offense, or at least what you did during your MVP season or for two-thirds of the season in 2017 before you got hurt. Then you throw into it, you are a severely below-average defender. And that's not because you're not good at it. It's probably a lack of effort, playing too safe, whatever the case may be. Because for years, everybody said he's really got to slow down. He's got to stop running into walls. And I think he took it way too far to the other end.
See, I don't think he took it way too far. I think he took it as, I'm not getting hurt this year because it's my payday.
Well, I think that's definitely part of it. He wanted to make it to the finish line. Team? Well, that's what I think we're finding out. A lot of people don't want him on their team.
It's awesome.
The question I asked you earlier, though, I'm gonna change the question a little bit that I asked you in the text message. He has two offers on the table. Chicago White Sox are offering him, and the White Sox were 62-100 last year, right? They're offering him 12 years, $400 million. Opt-outs, all that stuff, right? To go play in Chicago. Or a contender, and I'll make it any contender. It doesn't have to be an individual team. A contender offers him 3 years, $80
million. Oh, he's definitely taking the 300.
But if it were you?
I'm going to go play for a contender.
Right.
Because if I'm Bryce Harper, I'm getting paid a shitload of money from Gatorade, from Under Armour, from Rawlings. Like, who gives a shit? And plus, my mindset would be, I am gonna sign my legacy deal when I'm 29. I'm gonna get guaranteed money, and I'm gonna retire. You know, I'm gonna make sure that at 39, I'm getting paid a ton of money. Not I'm on some, you know, 3 year, $12 million a year deal. No, I want to win, and I want to prove if I think I'm that good, I'm gonna put up three monster seasons, and then I'm gonna get $400 or $500 million.
See, I agree with all of that. I really do. I think that his best bet, and that's why the Dodgers are probably trying to offer him somewhere in the neighborhood of, they might even offer him 3 for $90 and say, we'll give you 30 a year, but we only want to commit to you for 3 years. They don't want to give him the power of not opting out and just eating $30 million a year for the next 10. And I think that's the smart thing for him to do, but I think that he would be embarrassed to do that because this has been the free, especially if Manny Machado gets the 10 or 12 year deal. I think 10 or 12 year deals are ridiculous to begin with. I don't think anybody should get one of those. But if Machado gets it, or maybe Trout, but if Machado gets it and Bryce doesn't, that's the thing right now. It's not about the money per se. It's about the status,
the perception of the money.
Absolutely. About being the highest paid player in baseball.
Like, say for instance this year, it was Trout and Harper and Machado. I would literally, if I was any team, I would go to Mike Trout and say, "This is blank check. What do you want?" If it was 10 and 400, absolutely, he's worth every penny.
He is.
I mean, there's no. He will go down as top five baseball players of all time, if not the greatest. If he continues, his health is a little bit of a concern. Yeah, he gets weird injuries.
Yeah, he's 27 though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a long time.
But I mean,
to
it's
play.
Just.
I mean, eventually.
It's consistency, right? Like, how could you even. The fact, like, that's not even a conversation anymore, right?
Yeah, every year. It hasn't been a conversation for 2 years, no.
Well, but it's a conversation that Boris is saying, you know.
Don't get me. Boris was going to be my final thought, but I'm going to do it now.
Go into your final thought now anyway.
Oh, okay.
I'm sleepy.
Damn, dude.
I'm just kidding.
Here's my final thought. We talked a lot about Bryce, but I'm really fed up with Scott Boras. And here's why. Scott Boras came out at the winter meetings and he basically hitched all of the national success over the last seven seasons to Bryce Harper. The fact that their TV ratings have gone up, their attendance has gone up, all of that is all because of Bryce. They've won four division titles. It's all because of Bryce Harper. And he's actually selling Bryce Harper not for his on-the-field contributions, but what he can do for a franchise off the field. He's selling him for, he's going to sell jerseys, he's going to fill the stadium, Scott Boras is saying that when Bryce Harper came to the Nationals, and this is a true statement, they were worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 or $500 million. And in the last 7 years, their value has increased to $1.7 billion. And that's all because of Bryce Harper. That is such a load of shit. It boggles my mind. I'll ask you a question, Josh, because I know what your answer is going to be. It's, you know, good lawyers only ask questions they know the answers to. How many of the four division titles that the Nationals have won were predominantly because of Bryce Harper?
That's a dumb question, because it's zero.
Thank you. His two best seasons, I take that back. His best season, the MVP season, they missed the playoffs. And the season, his second best season was 2017. They won the division, but he missed the last 6 weeks of the season. He certainly played a big role, but he wasn't the main thing. The main thing that has made the Nationals a perennial contender the last 7 years has been their starting pitching. And it's been their depth in their lineup and just the way the roster's constructed. You could make an argument. Now, you might call me stupid for... You wouldn't call me. Somebody else might call me stupid for saying this. You could make the argument, in my opinion, that the Nationals still would have won four division titles in the last 7 years without Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. You could make an argument that they would have gone further without all the crap, and they might not have gone through so many managers without him.
And if I'm Bryce Harper and I'm listening to Scott Boras say all this stuff, and these are your teammates the last 7 years that you've worked hard with and won four division titles with, that was Scott. I'd be upset if I was Bryce Harper, but obviously that's me, because he's insulting the teams that I've played on by saying I'm the most important. And he has to know in his heart of hearts he isn't the most important. Most important player for the Nationals in the last 4 years has got to be Max Scherzer, pitcher. Their most important position player,
Rendon.
Anthony Rendon. Yeah. Not even close.
I would think that it's an insult to real Nats fans. Probably only hits home with 20% of them, actual Nats fans. I'm sorry, Nats fans.
Do you have to take
Nats
a shot at Nats fans right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, just
try. Because I don't think there should be an outrage.
I'm outraged.
Yeah, you're outraged. But I mean, is there more of an outrage other than you? It's an insult to Washington.
Yeah.
And, like, I would laugh if Boras came back and was like, you want to do this? I think we're going to do the 10 for... I'd be like, ha! I'd be like, how about 10 for 200, bitch?
I think that's what Mark Lerner basically said to him, though. That's what he said in a radio interview a couple weeks ago. He's like, even if they came back, I don't think we could make it work.
Yeah.
And Boras went after Mark Lerner.
Well, he did. Of course he did.
He insulted him. And Tom Lavero wrote a great article in the Washington Times about this. He said, if I'm Mark Lerner, I'm pulling Scott Boras into a closed, like behind closed doors, and I'm going, if you ever insult me like that again, none of your people are signing here.
I can't believe that there hasn't been a revolt against him.
I think it's coming, though. I mean, look.
Oh, it's obviously coming.
Yeah, nobody's getting long contracts anymore, and he's still trying to get these archaic 10, 12-year deals. Those are a thing of the past.
They should be. They never work out.
They don't. I mean, the Scherzer contract has worked 7 years, but you still have 3 years left on that deal. The A-Rod contract, I guess you could say it worked for the Yankees. They won a World Series in 2009, but then he dealt with all the steroid stuff and he didn't play for a year and a half. And at the end of his tenure, they basically had to buy out the last, what, like season plus? Fine. But it's just, it's insulting as a Nats fan to piggyback off what you're saying, because what Boras is basically saying is, with Bryce not playing for the Nats this year, the stadium's going to be empty again and nobody's going to be watching. Bullshit.
Now, that'll be awesome if that actually happens.
Why?
Because then I'll be validated again.
Oh, God damn it.
No. I mean, it's so difficult to be right all the time. I can't run every sports franchise here.
You know it's not going to happen, though, and the Nationals are contenders.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you're going to get everybody else's fans in there all the time.
Talking to you sometimes is like talking to a two-year-old who wants...
I'm way more articulate than a two-year-old.
Not way more. I would just say slightly more articulate than a two-year-old.
Okay.
Dynamite. You have any final thoughts?
No, I think we covered them.
Okay. We both think the Redskins are going to lose.
See.
And your fantasy team is...
tanking.
Badly?
Yeah, it's over.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway, we will close up shop by saying we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. Please go and subscribe to our podcast wherever podcasts are available. You can follow us on Twitter. It's About Time, DC1. That's ITS, About Time, DC1. Tell Josh how wrong he is about Nationals fans. Please, because I'm a diehard Nationals fan, and, you know, it bothers me when Josh attacks us, because I spent a lot of my time watching Nationals baseball, and
there's no problem.
I know I'm not alone.
Well, I mean, I watch Nationals baseball.
Yeah. Oh, did you want to talk at all about the Orioles' new manager? Any thoughts on that?
No, good hire. I mean, it's just a steward of a sinking ship.
You and your ship?
Sunken ship.
Your ship?
Submarine?
Is it another Titanic?
It's the captain of a submarine. It's the you know what?
You love
He's
ships.
Captaining the K-19 Widowmaker.
Good Lord. That's a hell of a pull, the K-19 Widowmaker. Well done. That's all I've got.
Would a two-year-old know that?
The K-19 Widowmaker? I don't know if I've seen the movie. I don't even know if I could have pulled that one out. Josh will not be here next week. He will be traveling for the holidays. So for those of you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Josh, enjoy your trip. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy
Hanukkah.
Shanukkah to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Because you're Jewish.
Dynamite. That's all we've got for this week, guys. Take care. I will see you next Monday for the Redskins recap of the Titans game, and maybe something will happen in baseball we can talk about as well.
Not we, you.
That's true.
It's the royal we.
Anyway, we've dragged it on long enough. Be well, guys. We'll see you next week. I'll see you next week, not Josh.
Bye.